It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. It's exciting, as always, to have you guys here. I appreciate the following. I appreciate the feedback. I appreciate sharing the show with everybody. So really, thank you so much about that. Wanted to jump into it and start the show with our quote of the day. The quote of the day comes from a gentleman I'm not familiar with named Thomas Huxley. Thomas Huxley: patience and tenacity are worth more than twice their weight of cleverness. Patience and tenacity are worth more than twice their weight of cleverness. And I think that goes back to, you know, the old adage of, sometimes people are born with talent, but, they don't practice, they don't stick with it, and so therefore their talent is wasted. That's kind of what I get from that quote. Anyway, today on the show, I'm excited, we have Chris Ronzio on the show. Chris started his first business when he was 14, and throughout his entrepreneurial journey, developed a passion for technology, efficiency, and making business easier. He spent a decade growing a video production company, which sold for over $3 million in youth sporting event videos, and sold that business before turning 25 to start a consulting agency. Passionate about making business better, Chris has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs and business rediscover clarity amongst the chaos. Man, isn't that a great title for a book? Clarity amongst the chaos, build efficiency into their operations, and transform the way they work. At the heart of it all is a desire to help others find the time to focus on doing the things they love. Chris Ronzio, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, Bert, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'll bring the tenacity, and if you have the patience, I think this will be a great show.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, first of all, this is one of the reasons I'm so excited to have you on the show. I consider myself a marketer, and of course, I saw the name of your program, Trainial, I'm thinking that's a made up word between the word manual and training. Trainial.
You got it.
I love it. I love it. I mean, it's like, you know, when you can create your own word like that, I mean, that's one of the pinnacles of marketing success. I mean, to me, the minute you hear this word or see this word, read it, whatever, you understand the message that's being created. So congratulations for coming up with that word, man.
Thank you. Yeah, it was one late night with my wife on the couch just throwing out tons of random words about what this thing actually did, and that's what we landed on. So I think the real success was when we had a customer say that they had a process they wanted to find, and they made a trainual. So when it became a noun, that's when I got really excited.
I love it. I love it. All right. All right. So talk about this a little bit. Here you are. You've obviously had some early successes, and obviously with early success also comes some early chaos and struggles and stuff like that. But you know, talk about your transition from you went from entrepreneur to consultant to now having Trainial. Talk about what is Trainial and how did you guys decide to get into that space?
Yeah, sure. So I think, first my story started, like you mentioned in the intro, as a teenager with building a video production company. And so that was really my real world MBA or my business school, hard knocks kind of experience, building a business and being totally stuck in the day to day. And that's, I think everyone starts there and has to start there to just get comfortable as an entrepreneur. And so that was my initial experience. And there were a few turning points where we narrowed the business focus down and where I moved away from the office. And we can talk about any of those stories if you'd like. But after I sold that business, I started working with other small businesses to build their systems and processes so that they can scale like we did with the video company. And I saw that everyone talks about systems. Everyone says systems and processes, but it's kind of this ambiguous thing. And so if you read any of the business books, they say you should have standard operating procedures or an operations manual and training and you know, the business should run on systems and then the people run the systems. And I loved that all in theory, but I didn't have any good tool to actually accomplish that for myself or for my clients. And so Trainual was built because we wanted something better than just Google Docs or Microsoft Word to document how a business worked. We wanted to replace the three-ring binder that gets dusty and sits on the shelf and create something that was more interactive and evolved as the business evolved to capture all of that knowledge within the company so that you could someday scale it or sell it or do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you hit one of the, you know, I think one of the stumbling blocks for a lot of companies, because, you know, it's not like you can say, hey, you know what, I'm going to get into the XYZ business, and you go down to Office Depot and you get the XYZ business manual.
Right.
And right. I mean, yeah. you basically, now there are some books out there and there's probably some resources that you can probably cobble something together. And of course there's audiobooks and training systems. And just like you said, there's all this stuff, but, you know, there's not one size fits all. So therefore that, you know, that stuff doesn't exist. So you have to go out there and kind of create your own. So I love this idea. So if I'm a small business person, how do I use Trainial? Do I start uploading my things up to it? Talk about how this integrates into my business. How does this make my business better?
Yeah, so like you said, I think there's no instruction manual for how to run your business, because you started your business not to be exactly like someone else's business. You had some unique idea or some unique service or some unique way that you do things or a product that you created. And so if there was an instruction manual for exactly what you wanted to do, everyone would be doing it. It'd be like IKEA furniture that, you know, I see at every one of my friends' houses, just like my house, you know. I think that's why the Business for Dummies or the Dummies series of books was so popular, because it really creates that foundation, those step-by-step instructions, at least for an industry. But then what's the next step? You know, how do you create a business that is unique to you but is also formulaic in a way that you can grow it? So the process that we came up with at our company was this idea of do it, document it, delegate it. And I talk about this a lot. So as an entrepreneur, when you first get started, you're learning how to do it. You're learning how to, you know, how to make the product or how to perform the service and how to do it consistently so that you're not just seeing what sticks every time. And then once you've got that delivery down or you've got that product refined, then you need to document it, which is writing down the step-by-step process for how you fulfill whatever it is that you do. And if you don't take that crucial step, then you'll always be the one doing it. So once you document, then you can finally delegate, and that's when you can grow. That's when you can hire people and train people. So for a business that wants to get involved in Trainual, the process is very much the same. It follows that formula. So first, you're doing things in your company, and where customers meet us, where they come to us, is once they've figured out how to do it, but they're struggling with where to document it, how to assign it to people, how to train people repeatably. Because even if you just document it in a paper binder by yourself that you have to flip the pages and go through with each individual person you hire, you're not truly removing yourself from that process. You're just shifting from doing the work to training the work every time. So what a company does when they sign up for Trainual is first identify all their departments, all of their roles. They just sort of build the outline of their business, and then they pick from all the different ideas and topics that we prompt them with of areas they might like to document in their company, or they can come up with their own. So it's totally customizable. So then as you go through that, you would just pick from the areas that are most pressing for you to document in your business. Maybe it's for the next hire that you have coming up, or for a big event that you have coming up, whatever the most pressing reason that you signed on to the program is, you would start to document that in step-by-step processes. And you can use text and photos and screenshots and video and documents and any way that you want to memorialize whatever it is or record whatever it is so that you can share it with someone else. You can do Inside Trainual.
Man, I love it. I love it. And this is, by the way, the basic building block of scaling your business, right? I mean, I remember the first time I read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, who's been on the show a couple of times. And to me, that was a big aha, right? And so to start documenting your systems so you could train people on how to do it, and you had all these procedures. And if you go work for a big company, and I don't want to even use the word big company, let's say an organized company, they will have procedures for everything, and they train you on it. And therefore, the owner isn't bogged down with how you do this and how you do that. And I love the fact that Trainual just kind of takes it to the next level, because now I'm assuming if I'm a new employee for company XYZ, they send me a link. I log into Trainual and I can start learning how, you know, whatever it is they're onboarding me on. So if it's, I don't know, how to complete a contract, there's a Trainual for that. And I just kind of plug in and start training.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the problem with trying to document your business on paper or a bunch of files on Dropbox or Google Docs is that they can quickly get disorganized. So as you create those processes, they just end up all in one big folder and they're hard to assign. So the advantage of putting things into Trainual is that you use our tagging system to associate every process or every policy or every procedure to a specific role in your business. So if you have a sales representative or a receptionist or an office manager or whatever that position is, and you hire a new person for that role, all you do is tag them with that role and it instantly assigns them everything that they need to know about your business without just getting caught up in all the files and all the noise that they don't need to know.
Man, that's fantastic, Chris. That is fantastic. All right, so tell me how this came about. So you're sitting around doing, and all of a sudden you get this idea, you get this aha moment where Trainual, something like Trainual needs to exist. Do you remember what was happening that kind of inspired Trainual?
Yeah, so I would say it's been inspired by a bunch of different moments, a bunch of small aha moments throughout my life. So, you know, first off, when I had my video production company, we weren't a creative video production company. We did live sporting events. So youth sporting events, tournaments, things that would happen all around the United States, the organizations would hire us to send camera operators out and cover those events in the same way, whether it was in Florida or California or Illinois or Massachusetts, where I grew up. So that experience of having to do things in a very systematic way just ingrained in me the necessity for those step-by-step instructions. But back then, we were doing it with, you know, checklists and laminated sheets and online quizzes and a WordPress site that was password protected. And we cobbled together all these solutions to try to achieve the ultimate goal that Trainual solves today. So that was the earliest experience, was just the real world in the field trying to piece this together, that I saw how challenging it was. So then after that company, when I had the consulting business, we worked with over 150 other companies all around the country. And one of them was a retail store here in Arizona, where I live now. And they were they do on-demand custom T-shirt printing. And they hire a lot of students from the local university, and those students turn over quite a bit because they move home for the summer. And so the process to teach how they do what they do was really important for this company and could kind of make or break their margin. So as we were working with that business, again, struggling to pile together the Google Docs and the three-ring binders, that's when I really felt, there's got to be a better way to do this. So that was the prototype of Trainual, was actually back in 2014. That's when we built it. And we built it for just the clients of the consulting business. So as we would work with a company, this would be a proprietary tool that we could solve their systems and processes, formalize the steps for how they did what they did, and then record them into our own system that we could hand off after we were done with the consulting. So an interesting thing happened over the years was as more people started to use the tool, they would refer the software out to other companies that didn't necessarily need the consulting, but they loved the idea of the tool. So along the way, that's when we had the next aha, which was, wow, this is a really scalable business on its own. And so we broke that out into a separate entity, and that's what we're all focused on today.
Wow, that is cool. Yeah, absolutely. I love this. What do you call that? I love this idea of, as you said, we as entrepreneurs, we're always piecing stuff together and we're trying to make things work. And I think everybody can relate to what you just said. You know, you had these laminated sheets, you have some stuff on Google Docs and this and that. And by the way, there's nothing necessarily wrong with this, but you know, what I love about Trainial, because we also use Google Docs, but Google Docs is not necessarily it's not necessarily to me the most efficient way to train your people with. And one of the things that we found out about Google Docs, which was really frightening, is that sometimes things can disappear. So we had a bunch of our training videos that were uploaded, and the person that uploaded those videos was no longer with our company. And, you know, she left. It was a very amicable, we call it departure, and we're staying in contact all the time. And what happened was, Google doesn't tell you this, but in order for you to keep all your content, if somebody uploads your content and you don't want that content to disappear, then they have to transfer the ownership of that content to you. And that little step that Google doesn't tell you about caused, I want to say, about 20 videos to disappear, which was no big deal because, you know, we luckily had had them, you know, they were our videos, so we had them in our storage. But it was pretty frightening to know, like, where did our videos go? And you know, that kind of halted everything. So that's why Google is sometimes not the most efficient, even though it's a great product. I love the idea of Trainial because you control it all. It's all yours. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And I love your idea that you can use tags for a certain, positions. And one tag can, you know, follows that, that position around. So that's great, man. All right. So let's talk about, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say just nothing against Google. You know, it's a great product, but it's a word processing system. It's great for producing a document and saving or sharing that document, but it's not meant to be assigned to someone, to train someone, to track their progress, to group things together. So it's just a different use case. And so actually the fact that so many people use Google Docs as kind of a round peg in a square hole or a square, whatever you call it, is a bright sign for us that, you know, there is a need to be solved.
Yeah, absolutely. What I like, and one of the things that I like about Trainial is, you know, you basically had this problem, and from having your own problem, you had that aha moment of saying, hey, you know, this is something that comes up not only with me, but I've heard it come up with other companies, and there's a real space or real use for this kind of product. So I love that. All right, so from the time that you decided, hey, we're going to do Trainial full time, this is going to be one of our, you know, I'm using that full time. Maybe you have multiple ventures, but you know, once you launch Trainial, I guess is the better word. Once you started launching Trainial, how long ago was Trainial before it got launched, or when it got launched?
And so it was actually about a year ago that we made the commitment to go full into Trainial.
Okay. And so here you are, you're starting from scratch. Are you using pay-per-click? How are you marketing your business? How are you growing the membership base?
Yeah, absolutely. So early on, when we first made the pivot and decided that we were no longer going to be consulting, I used that transition as a PR moment to go out to all of the companies that we had worked with in the past, make this announcement, kind of draw a line in the sand and explain the declaration and the vision about where we were heading. And that actually created a lot of inner circle referrals. And that was the first step, I think, to growing this was, you know, you've got to be willing to reach out to everyone you know and tell everyone. And so I did that, you know, through our clients, through our social media, through our website, through even reaching out to every single LinkedIn connection that I have. And I only got one FU from reaching out to all my LinkedIn connections. So I consider that a success. But really, it was telling everyone, you know, guerrilla marketing style at first. So then the next step was we created a local event. So here in Scottsdale, Arizona, where our office is, we rented out a space in a hotel and invited everyone we knew and invited press and really created an event around it that we would be able to share. We hired a photographer to be a part-time part of our staff to follow our team members around and create a ton of content that we could start to share. And that was really the game at the beginning, was just produce as much content as we can, guest blog posts, social media. It promoted posts on social media, but not necessarily a paid advertising campaign until we felt we had squeezed as much juice out of our inner circles and our connections as we could. And then we turned on the paid ad. So the reason that I went with that strategy was I wanted to learn as much about our users as we could so that we could identify who the right users were that we were targeting in the market. So early on, it was just word of mouth, trying to get as many people as we could to sign up. And once we had those customers, we wanted to engage those customers and make sure they were successful so that the product was as stable as it could be and solving the biggest need for the greatest number of people. And once we got there, then we went out and said, okay, where can we find more of these people? So for us, we did LinkedIn, Google, Facebook, Instagram advertising, a little bit of YouTube, but so far the best has been our Facebook and Instagram advertising. And the more we've done it, the more fine-tuned our message has become.
I love that. I love that. And so I want, you know, I kind of want to just review what you said. So first of all, you went back to your existing customers and saying, hey, we're pivoting. This is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be phasing out our consulting. But, you know, I love what you said. You know, your declaration, you know, your mission, purpose, all this stuff, you're getting it out there and very much grassroots, guerrilla, word of mouth type of old fashioned marketing, which always works. And I, you know, you started contacting LinkedIn, everybody, any possible source, you got the word out to them. And you didn't know this, but, you know, you're in Scottsdale, I'm in Gilbert, so we're almost neighbors. And so then you did this launch party, I guess, for lack of better terms, where you invited a bunch of people, you had the photographer out there, you rented the space, and you really just got the ball rolling this way. And then as you got to know, as you said, more and more about your users and more, and you're starting to refine your program, then you finally went to the pay-per-click programs. And so far, Facebook/Instagram have been the best out of LinkedIn, Google Ads, and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of been the journey. And there are a few other things we've done along the way. Like we started an affiliate program, which has been really successful for us, since there are a lot of coaches and consultants and personalities, influencers out in the market that are very aligned with our message, but don't have a competing or similar software or service. Or maybe they have a complementary service where they're at writing standard operating procedures or doing operations consulting. We created a affiliate program to do a revenue share with those types of people, and that's actually been a great avenue for getting new customers for us as well.
Yeah, and I was thinking that would be a great, a great affiliate program. I mean, if you are, what's it called, a organizational type consultant, this is like a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. This is like the perfect
absolutely.
Thing because, yeah, I mean, it's just like a no-brainer. So for all of you organizational type developers or organizational type consultants, this Trainio might be a great program for you to check into and get affiliated with. Let me ask you this. Okay, so you've done a lot. You started early on, since I said in the intro, at the age of 14. And so I want to talk about this. I want to talk about how you deal with fear, because here you are, you're having you've had a successful business in the video space, you sold that, you start a consulting company, you're pivoting now. And did you and your wife get together and say, hey, this is what I want to do, and go back and forth? And so sooner or later, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, Mickey Mouse or Mickey Mantle, you know, fear will sometimes rear its ugly head. So how do you, or maybe you and your wife, deal with that pushback, that fear, whatever you want to call it?
I think the opposite of fear is certainty. And if you have fear, you have to explore what you aren't certain about. So in building the last few businesses, I have had such strong vision for what I wanted to create that energy kind of overcomes the opportunity for fear. So I think that, you know, there's no doubt that there is fear. You know, entrepreneurship is plagued with fear. There's so much that could go wrong. And I think you just have to accept that things will go wrong. And it's not about will something go wrong. It's about how you're going to deal with the things that do go wrong. But if you don't have the resolve to continue pushing after whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, then fear can be paralyzing. And so I think for building these businesses, for, you know, all of the hard decisions, for, you know, companies I've invested in and decisions I've made, you know, every time I talk to my wife, is this aligned with what we're trying to create, what we're trying to build? And if so, then we do it, because not doing it is a recipe for regret, but doing it is a opportunity for expansion. And I think it's important to have that mindset when you're building businesses.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. All right. It sounds to me that you and your wife are on the same page. I mean, does she work on the business with you? Is she a full-time mom? What is her position in relation to the company?
She is a full-time mom. So she is the management team over our two young boys.
She has the hardest job in the world.
Absolutely. So she is fantastic. Absolutely. And so actually yesterday we celebrated 15 years together. So we've been together a long time and it's been great to grow and evolve together.
Yeah. Well, you know, blessings to you and your family, 15 years. That's phenomenal. That's great. You know, I bring this up. I ask you that question because one of the big mistakes that I made early on in my entrepreneurial journey is not that I necessarily excluded my wife, but I didn't include her, right? And she, bless her heart, thought that I knew what was going on. She believed in me so much that she thought I really knew what I was doing, and so therefore she was happy just to be a full-time mom, which is a great place to be. And looking back, that is one of the mistakes that I tried to If you're a married couple and one of you is an entrepreneur, I think both people need to find out what's going on and not just assume that your spouse knows everything and doesn't have any fears or questions or whatever.
Absolutely.
Having both people involved is such a great thing, because ultimately what's interesting is that once I started getting my wife a little bit involved, meaning I would ask her questions and get her ideas, you know, she's probably helped me make some great decisions, financial decisions, business decisions, who to do business with, who not to do business with. And she has a certain level of insight that she brings in because she's really not an entrepreneur at heart. It's a great blessing to be able to do that. All right. So
I love what you said there.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I have to chime in because it's such a good point. I have so many entrepreneur friends that really leave their spouses in the dark about what they're doing in business. And they think they're doing it to protect their spouse from the uncertainty or the dangers, or, you know, to not throw up red flags that will cause problems at home. But I think, you know, the exact opposite happens. If you don't share the ups and the downs with your spouse, or you know, any significant relationships that you have, then when things start to, when the burden gets too strong, you have no one to talk about that with. And that makes the problem so much more isolating that you can't get through it as easily. So over the years, there have been so many times that my wife has had to say, "I've told you so," that now I just listen to whatever she says the first time. And, you know, whether it's hiring people or, you know, "Hey, this person said this today and it was kind of weird," and she'll just have some, "Yes, and in the past they said this and this." It's like she's the Dewey Decimal System of, like, everything that's ever happened in my life, that she can just pull out these moments that I might not have remembered but that I've complained about before. So she is the supercomputer of decision-making behind this enterprise, and I'm thankful for that. And so we put a lot of energy into, you know, a weekly date night that we do without question, even on vacation. We do an annual planning retreat where the two of us will go away and plan out our year together, or the goals that we have. We review the past year. We do monthly check-ins with each other. We do try to do a quarterly half day or something, a staycation at a local resort, and just check in on where we're at. So I think the more that you can do that, it's kind of like releasing a valve that has pressure. And the more you release it, the less likely it is to just build up and explode. And that's important for marriage and important for business.
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you said there about not having somebody that you can talk to about what's happening, you know, how you're feeling, what's happening in your business. Because let me tell you, if you love somebody enough to marry them, they're obviously in your innermost circle, right? These are the people who know you the best. And yeah, it's just like you. My wife has told me, "I told you so many times," and all that other stuff, that, you know, I realize that I am a slow learner. I am what do you call it? Stupidly stubborn is the best phrase I can come up with, because, you know, she would be constantly bringing up some great ideas, and or she would say, "Hey, you know, what about this or what about that?" And then I just didn't pay attention until they came back and bit me in the butt talks. And so, like you, now I'm humbled enough to, when my wife says something, I just kind of perk up my ears and say, "You know, you're right. Let me look into it some more." Anyway, it's a great blessing to be able to do that. And if you don't have that with your spouse, definitely take the advice from Chris and myself, and just you know, get your spouse on board. It will relieve tons of pressure. I love the valve system. It will relieve that valve. You will feel better. And on top of that, you know, when we're trying to, at least for me, I think you're right. I was trying to, quote, protect my wife from all the bad stuff or whatever. But you know what? Having them included, it does take the pressure off. And it just, there's no surprises. There's, you know, when your wife is saying, "Hey, you know, our anniversary is coming up, and I want to take off for our trip so we can celebrate." Instead of you stressing about it because you don't have the money, she already knows you don't have the money, and she's going to plan something differently. So it's a great blessing, right?
Right. You know, I heard something recently too, that, you know, in business, as an entrepreneur, you might go to the office and you realize you need to hire someone, or you need to buy new computers at the office. And if you share those experiences or those realizations with your spouse, and you come home and say, "Yeah, I need to hire someone. It's going to cost another $100,000 or this or that." And then you neglect to spend and invest at home, you know, by going on vacations or by, you know, giving that financial freedom at home to buy things and invest in the households or whatever it is. I think that's also a way that entrepreneurs make a mistake. So that's something to be mindful of. As you share all of the ways you're investing at work, be conscious of also investing at home and not being too cheap.
Yes. That is probably, one of the most awesome knowledge bombs ever dropped on the show. What a fantastic idea. If you're investing X amount of money in your business, you need to see how you can, maybe what investments you need to make on the home front, because that's ultimately the thing that pays you the most amount of dividends and will give you the most amount of joy in your life. And anyway, so I love that. That's fantastic, Chris. All right. Do you have a personal self-talk, mantra, affirmation, or self-belief that contributes to your success?
I don't have a mantra that I say every day or anything like that, but I do have a whiteboard at my house in my home office that I've always had since I was in college. And I take the time to write things on there every month, the goals that I want to accomplish every month. And I've got my annual goals written off to the side in one of the corners. And I stare at it every day. So I very much believe in writing down your goals, the things that you want to achieve, and constantly being presented with them, constantly looking at them to be honest with yourself. Are you on the right path, or do you need to course correct? So that's something I do look at every day.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know what? And I just got this message. We could probably do a whole show on including our spouse and our business together. So absolutely, Karen, thank you for that. We probably could do an entire show about that because it's so important. All right, if you could recommend one book to our listeners, what would it be and why?
Great question. So I was fortunate last week to hang out and chat a little bit with John Warlow, who's the author of Built to Sell. This is a book that was written in 2010 or 2011, I believe. And what's so interesting about it is it's a fictional story about an entrepreneur that is caught in the day-to-day of his business but wants to sell the company. And the interesting point of the story is that if you're so burnt out by your company that you want to sell it, who would want to buy it, right? So the whole story was about positioning your company so that you could sell it, whether or not you want to sell it. So if you're a business owner or a leader or a stakeholder in a business, how can you add as much value to your business and make it run like a fine-tuned machine so that you could sell it, whether you want to or not? And so the book's called Built to Sell, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I love it. All right, Built to Sell. And I love that philosophy. If you're so burnt out in your business, why would anybody want to buy it? I think it's fantastic. All right, how can our listeners find out more about you if they want to become affiliates, if they want to get trainial for their own business? Where do they go?
Absolutely. So everything is on our website, trainual.com, and that's TRAINUAL.com. You can find more about me at chrisronzio.com, or you can follow my weekly column on inc.com. And I look forward to connecting with everyone.
Chris Ronzio, CEO and founder of trainual.com. I want to say thank you so much for stopping by. It's been a pleasure. Looking forward to getting to know you better.
All right. Thanks again.
Good stuff there from Chris Ronzio. And we covered a lot today, not only about him growing his business, about his aha moments, but how you can use Trainial to scale your business. And even though we didn't say those words specifically, that is one of the benefits of having all your processes in one place. And you can, instead of having them in a binder or having it, in different places, it's immediately updated. So you update this one process, now it's updated on all the devices and all your new people or even old people are updated. So I love that about trainial.com. And the biggest takeaway for me today is what we talked about regarding including our spouses. Big mistake in the early stages of my entrepreneurial journey. Wish I could go back and correct it. But if you're not including your spouse, and not thinking about investing in your family, you need to kind of recheck everything and see how maybe you can adjust that differently. As always, my friends, let's share this show with as many people as possible. Let's get the word out about not only Tranial, but also about the aha moments that we had on today's show regarding, you know, our spouses, regarding, you know, checking our goals every day. Maybe somebody is getting burnt out on their business and maybe they need to get a hold of that book by John Warlow. So let's share the show with everybody we know. As always, I appreciate that. And as always, my friends, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.